Welcome back into College Football Game Time, Sports Radio 929 The Game, in the Kia Studios. Final edition of the 2018-2019 season. Take a little hiatus. We'll probably make an appearance for G-Day, I would assume.
We'll be there with Johnny. Mm-hmm. We'll be there with Johnny. Brian House.
So speaking of spring football, by the way, too, don't forget if you want to interact on social media, at 929 The Game, at 929 CFB Game Time is the show. He is at John Michaels 929 hanging out with us today. He is at Randy Mac 81. I'm at JMCH316. Guys, I wanted to get your thoughts about the three local teams, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Georgia State, as we close out the season and we start talking about the, you know, obviously the next thing will be the last recruiting, although I think the big recruiting has already happened. But, John, last recruiting day coming up in early February, and then we really start to get ready for spring football. Give me kind of your thoughts about some of the local programs and what to look for as we head towards spring.
Well, first and foremost, for Georgia, it's just finishing out another top five class. I mean, they could theoretically end up with the number one class in the country, although I think Bama, because of a couple of more recruits, will get there. So Georgia is just rounding out a class. They've obviously already got a ton of stars coming in there. Just stole Tyreek Stevenson out of South Florida, another four-star defensive back that everybody was going after, including Miami and Florida State and Alabama, and he ended up going to Georgia. For Georgia Tech, it's, to me, the offseason is find a quarterback, whether it's a grad transfer, whether it's a young kid. I absolutely love the direction right now of Jeff Collins. Getting Brent Key to come over from Alabama, a great coordinator, a very good offensive line coach. He's putting his stamp on this. So for them, you know, it's a couple of fold for Georgia Tech. A, it's find that quarterback that can be a guy that runs the system that Jeff Collins wants. B, it's re-energizing a program. We've seen people at T-Day, where we've seen spring games for T-Day, where there's like literally like 150 people there. You got a new coach now. You got a new system. You've gotten everything, if you're a Georgia Tech fan, that you finally want. You're getting away from the triple option. You're getting away from Paul Johnson. How about get out there and support your program now? When you have spring game, no, you're not going to get 50,000 in the stands. How about get 10? You know, is there a reason you can't get 10,000 people down there to support these kids and see what it's all about? Those are the two that I look at. Georgia will round out the recruiting class. You're going to be fine. You're still loaded at every position. Yeah, you've lost some guys to the NFL. Tight end actually is a very interesting one. With Nada going pro and Ford transferring, what's next in line as far as can you find the guy that can go out there and catch the ball? Because James Coley does use the tight end quite a bit.
Mine is a lot on what John was saying. My biggest thing for Tech is the offensive system. How it's going to implement. I think Coach Collins is going to do some good things over there. But his biggest thing is you got to find the most important position. You got to get your quarterback. We all know it all ends. I mean, it does. I mean, it is what it is. It starts and finishes with the quarterback position. Did some great hires. Went out and got an Auburn's guy who was really good in the recruiting process. So he's come out, you know, one of his first pressers. We want Sunday guys. He's trying to get those guys over there to Georgia Tech. And so far, I mean, it seems like he's doing a good job, but who's going to be that quarterback in that system that he wants to run? As far as Georgia, of course, finish up the recruiting part of it and keep that Texas and what happened down in New Orleans in your mind. I said everything that you said, John, as far as let that video play on damn loop in your damn locker room, in your damn weight room, all offseason, let you know that we're trying to get there. We ain't there yet, but you're trying to get to that level. And if that butt kicking in New Orleans didn't wake you up, then nothing will. And then for Georgia State, what do we say? They got the right guy?
Yeah.
They got the right guy?
This is going to tell you. This is going to tell you a lot about.
You're 2-10. You're 2-10 last year.
This is going to tell you a lot about Georgia State, about how they get in, because you know they lived and it's not Coach Elliott's fault. They lived in that grad transfer, JUCO transfer, and I always say, John, I mean, and you were saying about with Georgia Tech, I hope they don't go that route, and I say that because, boy, when you live in that world, you better get it right. I mean, ask Mark Helfrich out at Oregon. You don't get those things right. You won't be around very long in college football. And I know Georgia State had to build a program, but boy, you just want to get your guys in there. Now it's time to develop, Randy. To me, Georgia State is, Randy, he's got to start developing his guys. Like if this is Coach Elliott's team and he's the guy to lead this program, you got to build your guys in there now.
Yes.
But if I'm him, do you not reach out to some, especially when you talk about quarterbacks, do you not reach out to maybe a Brandon Wimbush? Brandon Wimbush, he's not a high level group of five, or he's not a high level power five quarterback. I know he started at Notre Dame. He lost his job because he was inaccurate, but you think of him maybe at a group of five. You get 1 year out of that.
Sure.
That's the realm I'd live in, but you're right. The only guy I can think of that was super successful just mining JUCOs year in and year out was Bill Snyder.
Yes.
Bill Snyder at Kansas State, every year he found a big Samoan defensive tackle. He found a super mobile quarterback. He got big Colin Klein in there for a couple of years, L. Roberson, guys like that. They lived in that realm, and they stayed in that realm. But it is really hard to build a program that way because you're not getting a guy for more than a year or two.
Sherrill, baby. Remember Jackie? That's what he did at Mississippi State.
Well,
he lived with a bag of cash, him and Joe Lee Dunn.
Well,
Joe Lee.
Those guys knew when they left, this is going to be all suspensions anyway.
Yeah, right. Joe Lee said, I don't need no speaking headset.
Well, here's why it worked at Mississippi State. They knew in 2 years they wouldn't catch the paper trail of all the money that was being had. Like, here, get a cowbell and $100,000.
Yeah. I had a chance last night, and I've got his card in carousing around, but met a really great guy, Gary Lanier, who is the director of development for athletics for Georgia Tech.
Okay.
And, you know, he and I were talking a lot about the program and stuff. And, you know, even he made the comment, I'm not putting words in his mouth, just they love Paul Johnson, but everybody could start to feel it was time to make that move with Paul Johnson. And now you've got a guy who's got ties to the program. He's recruited here. He brings a lot of energy. He's a guy that's easy to rally around. And I think to Randy's point, I think part of my storyline in Georgia Tech, more than just the offense, Randy, the energy level and excitement of bringing in a new guy. Getting some buzz at Georgia Tech. It's time for Georgia Tech to get themselves back into big-time football business.
Yes. Well, and you know what's funny? Fans around here always will get mad at us. You guys don't talk about Georgia Tech enough. Well, they don't give us a reason or haven't given us a reason to talk about. When they went to the Orange Bowl in 2014, best believe people talked about Georgia Tech finished, I think, in the top 10 that year after shellacking Mississippi State in the Orange Bowl. After that, it's been two losing seasons and two seasons. I mean, you played in Detroit on December 26 against Minnesota.
Your own conference passed you over.
Like three or four times.
Right.
So that's where you had fallen. You should have some buzz. But I'm putting onus not only on Jeff Collins, but I am putting onus on the alumni and the fans that are around here. I've been to many games. When Miami's here every time, I go watch them play. I've been there for the Georgia game. It's usually more opposing fans at your own stadium than it is your fans. You want to get your program back right? Yeah, the football part has to happen. You have to win some games. But you guys got to support what they're doing as well. And if there's a time to jump back on board, it's right now at the ground floor.
Yeah, I think, Randy, that I think that this is something to get maybe the fan base energized. That the more that you hear about this hire and you see the coaches he's bringing in, you just feel like there's a different environment that's going to happen at Tech. And obviously, look, there's a reason why he got 7 years.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take a while to turn all the system around.
It's a mindset thing that he has to instill in that program. And to John's, to Jay Mike's, his point, and instill in the fan base. Because it's easy to say all the fans need to show, the fans need to show up. Well, hey, we got to give them something to show up for.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We got to put a good product out there. Right. And I thought – and you said what you were saying about the gentleman that you were talking to last night, it got kind of stale.
Yeah.
And you kind of felt that feeling about, you know what, this might be Coach Johnson's last year here. And now I hope that I'm not saying it because, you know, I can't stand Tech. I hate Tech. But as far as a football program, I think that they should be better than they are because of where they're located.
Right.
And I think that Coach Collins will come in here and he will get those kids now, those offensive players. Like he said, he wants Sunday guys. And that's what he's trying to bring in there.
And you know what I haven't heard from Jeff Collins, and maybe I missed it? I have not heard him basically complain about the academic standards yet. Everybody knows at Georgia Tech there is a challenge to get a kid that's going to go in there and go to class.
Man, whatever. Man.
Guess what? I haven't heard
O'Leary,
him say.
Did O'Leary have any problem doing that?
Can't have any problems?
Did Tanner have any problem getting him in there?
I mean, partial qualifiers.
And that was one of the things we talked about last night. I said, is that – And I just had to laugh because, you know, the two words he brought up to me were Kenny Anderson. So,
that was Prop 48.
Yeah.
Days.
Yeah.
anybody into school.
But if you, what do we say, Randy? If you really want to get a kid in, you find a way to get a kid in nowadays. And this is not a matter of Jeff Collins having to go out and try to find five-star kids to come to that program. But what do we always say, Randy? Tech's biggest problem is they don't have Sunday kids.
Right.
They don't have kids that can play on Sunday. And at some point, you can't be a really good college program if nobody in the NFL doesn't even think your guys are worthy of being in that league.
Well, and think about it. From a defensive perspective now, you're actually going to, on a day-to-day basis, practice against an offense you will potentially see on Saturday.
Yes.
Spread, throwing the football, no more having to worry about getting cut blocked 50 times a day during practice. And I think that's going to get, you know, even if you get three-star kids, and Georgia Tech right now, 54th recruiting ranking, they're 12th in the ACC, you'd like to see that get closer to 30 by the time this cycle's done. But you start getting kids in there that go, all right, I saw what this guy did at Temple. They won games. They were fun. They were energetic. And he seems like a guy that is going to bring that to the flats.
And when I look at that, when you were going back to the Sunday guys, like Tech, when you talk about their pro days, regional scouts come.
Sure.
Teams, not GMs, not head coaches. He wants to get that there. He wants head coaches to be at Tech.
And by the way, he was the guy who was here when it was Morgan Burnett and all those guys.
Yes.
He's the guy that helped bring all those guys in that were playing on Sunday.
So I think that if you're a Georgia Tech fan, you should be excited because he doesn't come off to me as a guy who's just selling wolf tickets. Like, he's believing in his message.
Randy, I want to ask you about Georgia. And you and Brian, obviously huge Georgia fans. Coming off the way the season ended, two straight losses.
Hold on. I'm not a fan.
Okay, right. you're a former player.
Thank you. But no, I'm not. I'm a dog, okay? Brian's a fan.
I'm a dog as well.
But Brian's a fan.
Okay.
And Randy is a pseudo-alumni booster. He kind of,
He only shows up when they really ask him to show
up. When they've got free dinner, then he'll show up.
Yeah, I'll be there.
So, question for you guys, in all seriousness. Coming off two losses to end the season, how does Kirby take that and massage that back into – because they're obviously good enough to be in the college football playoffs, even with the few defections they've had to the NFL. How do you take what happened and change that to let's get back to the college football playoffs?
How do we change it?
Mm-hmm.
Finish. I remember, and going back to your guy, who you like to make fun of, Mark Rick, the phrase finish the drill. I remember the day that when our first team meeting, and that was the mantra. That was the mantra. It was all over the damn butts in my building. But it's a true statement when you talk about this Georgia, you know, this Georgia philosophy now. Like you said, stop looking at the damn clock. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember I tweeted it in the middle of the national championship. Go for the throat.
Right.
That's what we got to get at.
Well, I got to tell you, if you don't finish, you can just pray on it, Randy Mack, and you'll finish either way.
Well, they do got a fine group of young men out there in Athens.
Maybe I could come back as a consultant for one Kirby Smart. Randy, would you have me back? Damn good dog, Randy Mack.
This, of course, is our unpromoted, unsponsored college football game time show. So that must mean it's time to buy or sell.
Yes.
10 questions, so I guess I know what I'm doing during the break. We'll do all that
next.
How
many questions do you have written down right now?
I don't know, something. If I can see the paper at this point, I have to hold it like Albert Randy is. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92 of the game.
Radio 92.
It's time now for John Chuckery's often imitated but never duplicated world famous buy or sell segment.
And it's the final edition of College Football Game Time, so it is our last buy or sell. And we want to thank all of our sponsors. Let me get that out here. All right, still waiting. All right, 10 questions for the guys for back here in the Key Studios. John Michaels in today for our Crisco Force. So Randy McMichael and John Michaels. Let's start with our guest here. John Michaels. Jalen Hurts is a Hurricane next season. Buy or sell? Jalen Hurts is a Hurricane next season. Buy or sell?
If I turn the mic on, that would help you think.
You.
Yeah. Bye. Jalen Hurts will be a Miami Hurricane. What is there to stop him from going to Miami? Nikosi Perry, I like the kid. He's a knucklehead. He maybe had a Snapchat video with him and another woman and another Snapchat video with him and about $20,000 cash. Jaren Williams, great kid. Central Gwinnett High School, looks like he could be a star. He hasn't taken a meaningful snap yet. Bring Jalen Hurts in 1 year. You're in the ACC championship game next year against Clemson. The end. He's a Hurricane.
Buy or sell. Jalen Hurts is a Miami Hurricane.
I am going to sell that. I think Jalen is going back to Alabama.
I wish he'd go to Auburn.
That's where I want him to go. I want him to go to Auburn.
There was a great conspiracy theory. So Tate Martell's transferring. Haskins going to the NFL.
Right.
Fields doesn't get his waiver. Bring Jalen Hurts up for a year to play quarterback.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. But, yeah, I'm
You really think he'll go back to Bama?
Yep. I think he'll declare for the draft where he goes
He ain't going to Maryland.
He ain't going to Maryland.
Yeah, I can tell you that. No. He ain't going to Maryland.
He's going to go down there. They're going to take him to Tootsie's.
He's out there now, I think.
No, he's at Maryland right now.
No,
he'll be at Miami.
He's on the way. Yeah. He's on the way down.
Right. You know, what, Saturday night, South Beach, little Tootsie's maybe?
He don't seem like he a Tootsie guy.
Everybody's a Tootsie's guy. Let's be real, Randy. You've walked into Tootsie's once or twice, allegedly. You walk in there, and your dreams are fulfilled.
I mean, I got a bronze couch.
Listen, I do you know how many girls I've put through chiropractic school and you know, real estate classes?
So,
and
so you were one of those guys at the Waffle House by the Mardi Gras up there at three in the morning?
No, I just, buying you dreams? You had to do all that before you left. I mean, sure. You know, so, I go to Oasis. I build a lot of VIP. Anyway, Randy McMichael, Pac-12 least likely to have a college football playoff team next year. The Pac-12 is the least likely conference to have a college football playoff team next season. Buy or sell?
I'm going to buy that. I think Oregon's going to be pretty damn good. I think they'll be the best team in the pack.
Washington should be good, too.
Washington will be good. But I still think it's Oregon's division lose. But I think they will slip up and lose, like, to Arizona State or somebody they shouldn't have the business doing. So, yeah, I'll buy that.
John Michaels, buy or sell, Pac-12, the least likely pro con. I can't even talk at this point. Pac-12, the least likely Power 5 conference to have a college football playoff team.
I have to buy it as well. Although I think the Big 12, Oklahoma, natural progression. You're not going to have a third straight Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. Austin Taylor, Austin Bryan, I don't know what his name is. He's transferring. You're going to have a true freshman most likely starting in Spencer Rattler. I don't think Texas is ready to take the college football playoff step. I think they'll be better, but they'll still lose a game or two. So it'll come down to the Big 12 or the Pac-12, but I still think Oklahoma and Texas are better than Oregon and Washington. USC's a mess. UCLA is still a mess. So, yeah, I'll buy that as well.
Buy or sell, John Michaels. Clemson, this Clemson edition is one of the 10 best teams in the history of college football. Buy or sell, this year's Clemson team, 15-0 national champion, one of the 10 best teams in the history of college football.
I buy this. I don't know if Knox Bardeen has put up my college football scoop yet, but I did a college football scoop on the top five college football teams of all time. I have them ranked third. Clemson is the third best team behind 2001 Miami, still the greatest college football team of all time. 1995 Nebraska, 2. I have Clemson, 3. 2005 Texas, 4. And 1971 Nebraska at 5. Those are the five best college football teams, in my opinion, of all time. So Clemson at 3.
If you gave it to Knox, he'll take credit for it. Randy McMichael.
Well, it's a video of me, so unless he can superimpose himself.
He'll put his head on it.
Don't worry. I've been there, lived it.
Yeah.
Buy or sell, Randy McMichael. Clemson, this year's Clemson, one of the 10 best teams in the history of college football.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I'll use the phrase that you always use to me. You can't dumb your way to 15-0. No. You can't dumb your way to 15-0.
At least it's about player safety, right?
Yeah,
and we need to play more football games.
For free. Yeah. All for free.
Yeah. Randy McMichael. Jake Fromm is the fourth best returning quarterback in the country next season. Jake Fromm is the fourth best returning quarterback in the country next season. Buy or sell?
So you got Lawrence, Tua, Herbert. Who else is there? Ian Book. I think that's buy. I'm trying to think of all the. So out of all those
Your
guys,
guy out in Arizona.
Oh yeah, Tate Khalil out in Arizona. Khalil Tate. Thank you. And is it returning?
Yeah.
Sam Ehlinger.
I was about to say Ehlinger. I'll take Jake Fromm over him. But
yeah, me too.
Damn, I might have to buy that. I might have to buy that. Now, is he going to
I had Tua, Trevor, and Justin Herbert with my
Those were my top three. So, yeah, I might buy that. I'll buy it.
Buy or sell, John Michaels, that Jake Fromm is the fourth best returning quarterback in college football next season.
Yeah. Just going through, and I'm trying to mentally go through some of the names. Ohio State's going to have a new quarterback. Michigan, Shea Patterson is there's nobody else in the Big Ten you think about. You think of the ACC, it's Trevor Lawrence and nobody else. Yeah, yeah, everybody else is pretty much poop. So, yeah, I'd go fourth best quarterback in the country. Might even be third. I'm not sold on Justin Herbert.
I'm with you.
I've watched too many crap games out of Justin Herbert.
I'm with you on Herbert. But I think I'll look at it more as the NFL analysis on him more than anything.
So, as a matter of fact, I'm going to sell it because I think Jake Fromm's the third best quarterback coming back in college football.
I'll take John Michaels. speaking of John Michaels, Army is the best non-Power 5 team next year. We talked about September 7th at Michigan. Army will be the best non-Power 5 team next season. I think they have what did I see? Is it like 16 or 17 starters coming back? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the quarterback's coming back for an 11-2 team this year.
I'm still going to sell that. I like what they're doing. Central Florida, they proved to me in the bowl game with a backup quarterback, they can play with anybody. Now, they didn't win, and I know that was a skeleton LSU starting team. That's still LSU who's rolling out talent after talent. I think Central Florida will go down there. Boy, they've got one non-conference game early that's pretty good. But I think Central Florida is going to be an 11.
Central Florida's got Stanford is their big game.
They'll be 11-1 right in that mix again. Give me Central Florida. I like what they're doing with Josh Heupel.
Buy or sell Randy McMichael Army as the best group of five team next year.
Oh, I'm selling that. And everything John said, I think UCF will be the best team. I look at them as an 11-1 team. And then another New Year's Six Bowl. It depends on who wants it. Will they be back here in Atlanta or will they be back out in Arizona?
Randy Mack, buy or sell Virginia Tech winning the ACC Coastal next year. Buy or sell Virginia Tech winning the ACC Coastal next year.
I'm going to sell that. I honestly don't know who the hell will win the Coastal. I mean, I know John, you know, of course, Miami will be in the mix for it because it's such
everybody's
a bad side. But I'll sell that.
Buy or sell John Michaels, Virginia Tech winning the ACC Coastal next year.
In basketball? Oh, wait, there's no Coastal in basketball. Sell. I know Josh Jackson will be back from at quarterback. I'm not overly thrilled with it. I thought Josh Jackson was a guy. I never thought he was the guy, a big difference maker for them. If Miami doesn't win the Coastal in year one under Manny Diaz, it's a fail. That division is dreadful. Mm-hmm. You had five lost Pittsburgh in the ACC championship game. Miami should be able to dummy their way to 9 or 10 wins.
An NFL quarterback. Yeah. I mean, you got a
Georgia
lot
Tech's
going on.
Got a new coach. Yeah. Miami's got a new coach. Virginia Tech was
Carolina's
in complete disarray.
Carolina's got a new coach.
I mean, think about Virginia Tech had to beg their way into a bowl game. They had to marshal their way into a bowl game. So, I'd sell that.
John Michaels, buy or sell. Clay Helton gets fired midseason next year. USC's Clay Helton gets fired midseason or during the season. Let's put it that way. During the season next year, buy or sell?
I'll sell it only because I think Lynn Swann is a little bit of a puskator when it comes to athletic director. He won't fire him midseason. He'll get fired at the end of the season. He probably should have been fired this year, but they didn't want to spend the money. Cliff Kingsbury was supposed to be the magic elixir that fixed their program. Clay Helton's not going to make it to the end of the year. It's just Lynn Swann is too crappy and too wimpy to fire him before the season's over.
Randy McMichael, buy or sell. Clay Helton gets fired during the season next year. Buy or sell.
I'm going to buy that because I think after their
they'll play Notre Dame early in the year because it's at Notre Dame.
They play them October. Yeah. I think after Washington mud drugs them on the 28th, he'll be fired. Yes.
Would they look at Steve Sarkisian, bring him?
No.
He's gonna get the Detroit job or the Arizona job.
I thought he had the Arizona job.
Does he have it?
I thought so.
Okay.
But no. Sark, that bridge is burning.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Could they bring back Lane Kiffin?
No.
Hire him on the tarmac?
That bridge is burned, too. I think that if that anything happens, remember all those NFL coaches that we heard?
Yeah.
I think that Lynn will make that move.
Randy McMichael, buy or sell, Texas A&M at Clemson, the best non-conference matchup next year. I'll give you a few other games. Notre Dame, Georgia, Notre Dame, Michigan, Auburn and Oregon, and LSU and Texas. Texas A&M at Clemson, the best non-conference matchup going into next season.
I'll buy that because I think Jimbo has A&M.
What did we say last week? Look out.
I think that Jimbo has A&M in front of LSU in the West. So, yeah, I'll buy that.
LSU's at Oregon?
No. Oh. Auburn and Oregon. Oh. LSU, Texas.
No, is it Oregon coming here?
Or? No, I think it's Auburn goes to Oregon.
Ooh, wow. That'll be awesome. That will be. I don't think it'll be a great game because Auburn sort of rebuilding. I'll buy it. Texas A&M is on the way to the top of the SEC West. They won't pass Alabama. They'll be close. Remember, that's a 28-26 game this year. Their quarterback's back in Kellen Mond. They do lose Trayvon Williams, though, to the NFL. Right. But that'll be fun. I will say that's going to be the best non-conference game.
Buy or sell, John Michaels. Big 12 will only have two teams that win 9 or more games next year. Big 12 will only have two teams that win 9 or more games next year. Buy or sell.
I'm going to sell it. I think Texas-Oklahoma will get to 9 just based on their Texas and Oklahoma. somebody else will jump up. It won't be West Virginia with a new coach. I would bet on TCU, maybe, Gary Patterson, or Iowa State, or Oklahoma State. Somebody will win more. So I'll sell that. I think somebody will win more than nine.
Buy or sell, Randy McMichael, the Big 12 will only have two teams with nine or more wins next year.
Oh, I'll sell that. I mean, Texas, Oklahoma, of course. I think Coach Campbell will have Iowa State contending for the Big 12 title. I mean, he's just that damn good of a coach. And they actually play defense. So, yeah, I'll sell that.
And finally, Randy McMichael, got to go win the national title next year. You're starting your program from scratch. Buy or sell, you take Trevor Lawrence over Tua for next season, buy or sell.
I'll buy that. I'll buy that. And as great as Tua was throughout the season, I think you saw what happens his last two games once you get – if you can get after him. Georgia got after him, and you saw what Tennessee did, and they forced him to turn over. Trevor Lawrence never looks worried. He never looks rushed. He never looks like the rush speeds him up. So, yeah, I'll buy it. I mean, I'll take Trevor Lawrence.
I buy as well. Trevor Lawrence is a guy I think you can put on a ragtag team, and they're going to look better.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the guy I'd start in college football.
And that was Buy or Sell, unpromoted, unsponsored. We made it the whole year with that.
Brought to you by
when
who?
We get back.
Huh? Is it brought to you by who? Okay.
Look, check to see. Clemson and Alabama have established themselves as the two top programs. How long is it going to be before somebody actually can climb the mountain and knock one of those teams off? We'll talk about that next. College football game time from the Key Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
College football game time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final show of this season. Coming off the national title game where Clemson just hammers Alabama 44-16. But with all that being said, these are going to be, without question, the two top programs going into next year. They will be 1-2, whether it's Bama, Clemson, Clemson, Bama, ranked 1-2, just as they were this year. And my question to you guys, I was thinking about this, is that we see a lot of third and fourth teams that are just kind of there.
Right.
And people say, well, Georgia almost, okay, enough moral victories. When does somebody finally take down these giants of college football? And you're going to have to take down not just one.
Both of them.
You got to take them both down if you're right. Going to try to win. And I guess I just, me personally, guys, I don't think it happens anytime that quickly.
I'll go conference-wise. I think Georgia has, I think they can get them. As far as in the conference, like you said, like, can you beat both of them? Because you're going to beat both of them in the same year to win a title. They're that elite of teams. I look at the ACC, I don't see anybody even close to challenging Clemson.
I don't know. I don't know if you put an all-star team together in the ACC what's
and
left.
And then I look at outside, Oklahoma, Ohio State, again, A&M, they're coming up in the West.
Right.
I think Jimbo is one of the better coaches in all of ball. But right now, when you talk about in the championship winning business, it's those two programs. And in order to get there, you're going to have through, like you said, not necessarily an all-star team, but you got to have that mindset is that we're championship ready. We're not just trying to get there. Two squads in America are championship ready. That's Bama and Clemson. Who's on the outside? You got your Georgias. You got your Oklahomas. You got your Ohio States. Now, where's the next tier after that? Because right there in those three teams, when you look at Georgia, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, I think those are the three. You might be able to slide Notre Dame in there, like John said earlier, if they get more athletes, which is amazing to me because it's dang on Notre Dame. But outside of that, I don't see it.
You know, John, I think what it is when you see Clemson and Alabama, they don't have that. Those teams don't give you that three-touchdown loss to LSU, the four-touchdown loss to Purdue. They just don't have those moments. And so it doesn't ever – they don't ever have to worry about being hurt by those kinds of moments the way the Oklahomas and the Georgias and the Ohio States have hurt themselves over the last few years.
I mean, think about it. This is the worst loss Nick Saban's ever had at Alabama, and he lost in a national title game.
Right.
Previously, he had lost a couple of times by 14, but that was it throughout 10 years, 11 years at Alabama.
Yeah.
Clemson had the loss to Syracuse, but you had an excuse with injury. It was those stupid Friday night games. And they still bounce back. Were they not the number one seed a year? I think they were. They were the number one seed.
And yeah, that's it. They didn't lose the rest of the way.
Sure.
Though. You know, Syracuse didn't win a game after that.
Right, I know.
Where Clemson didn't lose another game till the playoffs.
So with that, those two teams have the benefit of the doubt. Now what they have, at minimum going into 2019, you've got two, you know, once-a-generation players in Tua and Trevor Lawrence as your quarterbacks, and you've got enough talent around them where even if one of those teams loses in the regular season, they'll be back right. in the college football playoffs. They're going to be afforded that doubt. I put down a list of teams that I think potentially, not next year, but in time could get there. Obviously, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and I'll throw Notre Dame in there for what they did this year. Those four programs can make immediate leaps to get there. Here's the issue with all of them. Ohio State, you lost Urban Meyer, and you lost Dwayne Haskins. That's going to be a lot to overcome next year. Notre Dame, I think they're going to be right back preseason top four or five, and they'll be in the mix all year long, but they have to play at Georgia. Oklahoma's replacing a second straight Heisman Trophy candidate or winner. You're going to have to take a step back. And then Georgia, again, I think it's just mental. The physical pieces are there.
Right.
Can they get over the hump? Then I have my next tier of teams that are close, but no cigar. And that it might take them a year or two to get there. I think Washington, if Jacob Eason can be better than Jake Browning, and Chris Peterson's a hell of a coach. Texas, starting to make that step up the ladder with Tom Herman. I think Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher. Florida with Dan Mullen, I think is going to be a group that's there. Michigan, you throw into that mix. Oregon, you throw into that mix. And then LSU and Auburn, just because they're LSU and they're Auburn and they always have talent there. So that's the next tier. The tier after that is former powers that have potential to eventually get back, but they still may be 3 or 4 years
that's
away.
That's Florida and teams like that.
Well, I think Florida is higher up there. They finished 7th in the country. Florida's mm-hmm. really – the teams like that are Nebraska. It may take Scott Frost 2 more years, but what I saw in the second half of that season, he's the right coach. USC, it's probably going to take Clay Helton to get fired
right.
and get the right guy in there, and then Florida State and Miami. Because those are powers that have the recruiting background, they have new coaches. In time, they could get there. But those last I just mentioned are probably 3-4 years away.
The trend, when I'm listening to John read those teams, though, Randy, here's the trend that immediately goes through my mind. Alabama and Clemson are elite-level offenses and defenses.
Yes. Right.
And I listen to Oklahoma. They're an elite-level offense.
Correct.
They're a has-been defense.
Correct.
When Ohio State had an elite level defense a couple years ago, they were a pedestrian.
They won a national title, though.
Well, but I mean, they were in a lot of ways not a great. I mean, not the Ezekiel Elliott year, right. but I'm talking about when JT, they were a very mediocre offense. Great defense, championship caliber, but mediocre offense. And it's like you listen to some of those teams. I would tell you that Georgia is the closest to where I say, okay, who could be elite level on with offense and defense? But Georgia's not at that level yet because. Now Alabama and Clemson, to me, as I'm just listening to the programs that he's rattling off, it's so quick and easy to point out the flaw of yep. those other programs yeah. of Oklahoma
right.
or Washington or Notre Dame. And not because they're not terrific teams. It's just, okay, they're good. When you give Dabo and Nick a month to get ready for you, they're going to exploit whatever unit that you don't have against them.
And that's why I think if they're going to be out of the playoffs, it's going to take a Saturday where they lose a game that they shouldn't. Yeah. And I'm not talking about Bama losing to Auburn. I'm talking about Bama losing to Tennessee,
right.
where they fall from 1 to 6 or 7.
Right.
And then you get that argument of, okay, does a conference champ get in over you? It's going to take Clemson maybe losing twice. They're going to have the slip up to Syracuse and lose an ACC title game. The problem is, so maybe next year, Clemson loses at home to Texas A&M. That's not going to knock them out, but that would have them where the next mess up gets you out. So right. it would take them losing that game and then having a slip up.
Yeah,
that's a lot to ask.
The ACC, Randy, will give no help to Clemson.
No.
The SEC helps Alabama immensely. I mean, it does. I mean, it just when you start rattling down all the teams. That's why Alabama can do what they did because Auburn ends up with 3 losses even though they're in the title game because they're going to have their stub their toes. Clemson won't get that kind of boost. But you say that, okay, so they lose to A&M. Ain't nobody in the damn ACC going to beat Clemson next year.
No.
I got news for you.
I mean, I don't know if anybody's within 2 touchdowns of them next year.
So, I mean, it sounds good to say, well, you know, Pitt. Okay. Ain't none of those teams. I'm looking at. Ain't none of those teams going to sit there and go, we're going to beat them.
Who was the second best team in the ACC this year?
Notre Dame.
Syracuse. It was Syracuse.
Yeah.
But do we really? And I like Dino Babers as a coach, but Eric Dungy, I believe, is gone.
Yes.
Do you really think that Tommy DeVito is going to be the guy that suddenly?
Love him. I mean, he's
they do.
High, yeah, but even then, to for them to almost have upset Clemson, Randy, had to knock Trevor Lawrence out and,
sure.
And put
it,
you know what I mean? It part of it is you almost have to have those kinds of moments. And I hate to say that. I don't like the idea of saying you got to knock a star player out or something like that. But that's almost what it is that you have to have one of those kinds of moments where Trevor Lawrence got knocked out of a game and now Syracuse has got life all of a sudden.
I think that if you look, and I think this is self-explanatory, Clemson has the easiest route of any elite team. They're like the Patriots in the AFC East. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It might look good for a half or something. You know how the Patriots, they slip up when they go to Miami every other year, but Clemson is too dominant. And I think they'll be dominant in SEC, in the Big 12. I think that they are just that damn good.
Isn't it going to be exciting that it's not too long before we get Clemson, Georgia back together?
Thank God.
That rivalry back together. I mean, that's obviously what college football needs. But, and I'll be the first guy to say, I was the first guy that when Dabo Swinney took over for Tommy Bowden, I was the first guy to take shots at what this is. But there's no question about, look, everybody likes to mock Dabo and you know, the faith and his rah-rah. And there's a lot of things that people just like to kind of knock. You can't deny what they've done with facilities and recruiting. And what he does, man, I mean.
It's special. And I'm with you. I did not like that. I'm like, who is this clown? But let me tell you what he does. They have a message, and he preaches it, and they follow it.
Oh, they believe in
and
him.
And they believe
yeah,
in
they
him.
They believe in him 100%.
And I'm a big Dabo fan.
But he also had the backing of his athletic department to go out. Think about it. You're 6-7 year three, and he's close to being fired. And now you go out and you hire Chad Morris. Chad Morris, really the guy that was at Arkansas? Yeah, we're going to change the way we play offense. And that worked for 2 or 3 years to get you to 10, 11 wins, but you're getting toasted defensively. You give up 70-plus in a bowl game and you go, all right, we're never going to get anywhere without Brent Venables. And they go pay that money to Brent Venables. And he's basically kept the same staff for the last 4 or 5 years. That's the patience that college football fans and a lot of athletic departments don't have anymore. It's paid off for Clemson. He didn't win a national title until year 9.
Yeah.
If Kirby Smart doesn't win a title by year 9, how impatient are dog fans going to be?
Would they give him 9 years?
Yeah. To win a national title, yes, because he's getting SEC titles, and he's been to a playoff. But I'm just talking about how impatient are fans going to be if you're in year 9 and Kirby still doesn't have a national title.
I got news for you. If he's 5 or 6 years in, John, and he doesn't have a title – all you're going to hear is Mark Richt, Mark Richt, Mark Richt. You're hearing it now.
You're already hearing the clowns now with all the 3 year. Wait, man, shut them up. All right.
I like when we get salty,
yeah,
Randy.
Just go over there somewhere with that, man.
No, you tell them kick rocks.
Yeah, man. Just go kick all the damn rocks.
That's what they need to do. But yeah, there are programs that are capable. It ain't happening next year. You can go ahead and pen in. Don't pencil in. Pen in. It's going to be Alabama, Clemson 5 for the national title next year.
But why even the year after wouldn't it be those teams?
I mean, you're hoping that if you're a fan of somewhere else, that Lawrence will still be there. But you're hoping that Tua's gone, and maybe his brother's not as good. And
so they had Coker.
I know
they've had Coker and Blake Sims and guys like
that. They didn't go to the playoffs with Blake Sims. They lost 3 games that year.
Ohio State. That's where Lane Kiffin lost his mind.
Right.
What the hell are you doing, Lane?
Yeah, when his guys are running for 6.5 yards a carry and he doesn't run the football. But Jay Coker won a national title.
Right.
I mean, it's
I know, but that's your hope. That's what you're hoping. Hey, maybe Nick Saban decides to retire. You know, that's what you're looking at right now. I said it best, though. You should be on your program to get better. And if you're one of these coaches, you look and go, how do I catch these guys?
Top 5 coaches in college football. I think we know the top 2, but who goes after that? We'll discuss that next. College Football Game Time, Sports Radio 929 The Game.